The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant Ezra Cree, and public relations consultant Ellen Shulman.
Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits. This is Ellen Shulman. I'm here with Ezra Krieg, and we're going to be talking about a condition today that affects hundreds of thousands of people, but I bet few people have even heard of it. It's called scleroderma, or systemic sclerosis. And I'm pleased to welcome Fern Robin. She's the executive director of the local chapter. Welcome, Fern.
Thank you.
Why don't you explain to our listening audience what scleroderma is?
Well, scleroderma is an autoimmune disease in relationship to multiple sclerosis and lupus. It affects approximately 300,000 people, mostly women between the ages of 25 and 55. It means hard skin. Scleroderma means hard skin. It's overproduction of collagen in the body, which attacks and affects most of the organs, the face, the skin.
And tell us about some of the symptoms, if somebody out there may have some symptoms and don't understand what it is. And I know it affects younger people, too. It's not something that affects somebody who's aging. I mean, I saw on your website where you actually had younger, like a pair of twins that had it. So what are some of the symptoms that would give you a signal that you have this?
Well, there are two different kinds. There's limited and diffuse. There is localized. The localized is when it's affecting the skin on the face. It's facial disfigurement and body disfigurement where they have, it's a Z shape that'll show up. They call it a sword face. And that is mostly in children, and you'll see that. And they are deformed to some degree. We have a local person. Her name is Lauren Beeson. She was discovered locally when she was 8 years old. She is actually on the website. Her picture is on there. And she was bullied and had a really rough time as a child going through this with this disfigurement. However, she got married 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's great.
She graduated from college with a degree in education. She's a special ed teacher. And she's been our national poster child for a while. So it does affect children dramatically. Unfortunately, children, to fix some of the problems for children, they have to go on heavy drug regimens, and it's a very difficult decision for parents to make to put them on a chemotherapy drug to help their children. We have a child up in upstate near Ocala, and the Rice family, their little daughter Christine, she was diagnosed at 8, and she has been on therapy for the last 4 years, and she is right now symptom-free after having taken the medication. So
that's one form of scleroderma.
That's one form. Now, the internalized, where it affects the organs, is people will have GERD, they will have stomach issues, they have breathing issues, they have heart issues. It affects all the organs in the body.
And that generally is older people who...
Not necessarily. That could be people in their 20s.
As well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How do you get scleroderma?
No one knows. There's no cause. There's no cure.
Is there a genetic disposition to it?
Well, we have... officially, no, there's not, but it can run in families. We just lost one of our patients locally up in the West Palm Beach area. She was in her 60s, but her 18-year-old son died of scleroderma several years ago. So there is a connection. You are 20% more likely to have scleroderma if someone else in your family has it. We have a situation where a woman we know that passed away in the 50s, her daughter who lives in Texas right now, it took 11 years to diagnose her with scleroderma, even though her mother had passed away of the disease.
Now, I thought I read that it's typically not fatal. Is that true?
It can be fatal, or it could just be a chronic disease. It depends on when it is caught and when treatment begins.
And does a person typically go to a dermatologist to get it diagnosed, or what kind of doctor?
Well, they have a battery of doctors. Usually it's the rheumatologist who first diagnoses it. Because there are issues with the hands. Many of them have Raynaud's, and that's one of the first symptoms that they see is the Raynaud's. Their hands turn blue. They have limited use of their hands.
Okay, so they would go then, they would complain of those kinds of symptoms and then go to one of these specialists who would then identify it.
They would go to the rheumatologist, and then you are sent to dermatologist, gastroenterologist, pulmonologist, cardiologist.
And so once it's diagnosed, you talked about the kinds of treatment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there are many kinds of treatments. A lot of people are using basically organic treatments where their diets are gluten-free. They find that that helps with the digestive process. There are all kinds of, there's a lot of medications for the lungs, particularly for the lungs, that are very good. There are more coming out every day. Part of the purpose of our foundation is to do research and to fund the doctors who will do the research, and we have drug companies that also help fund the research for lung, particularly the lungs and the stomach.
Do they have any idea why more women get this disease versus men?
No, they really don't. But when men get it, they get it probably worse than women do. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. This past summer, I attended our patient conference in San Francisco, and there was a program on African Americans. And the gentleman from Johns Hopkins told us that they had done a survey. Johns Hopkins had done it, where everyone had the same medication, same physician, same treatment. African American women had a 60% higher mortality rate than white women.
Goodness.
Yeah, that's astounding. It is astounding.
So you said that there are about 300,000 people with the disease. That's nationwide.
That are diagnosed. Yes.
And do you have any idea what the prevalence in South Florida would be?
It's pretty high down here. One of the reasons being is that people are sent from up north down here to live down here because the weather, especially with the Raynaud's, the mm-hmm. weather is so affected. I actually have a cousin who has Raynaud's, and she moved from Boston, especially after last winter, and she moved to South Carolina because of the weather element. Mm-hmm. So they need to be in warmer weather. One of our board members moved here in the late 80s because he was a teenager, and his mom had scleroderma, and they told her she had to live in South Florida because of the weather issue. She died a couple of years later, but it helped prolong her life to live down here.
Now, what is the kind of treatment that they're going to receive then when they have the disease? Is there a regimen, something that people use?
Well, they mostly drug regimens.
Okay.
and diet and exercise, which, you know, there isn't a disease, there isn't a condition in the world that diet and exercise don't help a great deal. So they have physical therapists, occupational therapists, because if they have limited use of their hands. At the convention, I was amazed at all these people that walked around carrying trays and carrying food, and their fingers were bent. They also get digital ulcers on their hands, which require amputations, and they end up losing parts of their fingers.
So you said that part of what you do is raise money and conduct mm-hmm. research. What else does the Scleroderma Foundation do?
Well, locally, we're very strong in supporting our membership. We have a number of events during the year. We have walks. We have support groups. We have 3 support groups a month that meet locally. And we have a holiday party for our patients. We have a patient education. We try to have a lot of more fun events. We're having an event this year at the Improv, but we hope to make that an annual event. Mm-hmm. And we try to mix fun with knowledge for them.
And I assume the best way for people who are listening to reach you is through the website and the phone number.
Mm-hmm. And what is your website?
Our website is scleroderma.org/chapter/SE Florida. And our phone number is 954-798-1854.
Well, you're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. And today we're speaking with representatives of the Scleroderma Foundation, Southeast Florida Chapter. For more information on this important organization, please visit their website at scleroderma.org/chapter/SE Florida or call 954-798-1854. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
One of the most important skills any student can learn is how to study. I'm Andy Ford, president of the Florida Education Association and a classroom teacher. I've seen too many capable students struggle with classwork, homework, and tests simply because they didn't know how to study. Here are some ways you can help your child achieve lifelong study skills. Set specific times for study each day and stick to them. Make sure that notes, homework, and assignments for each subject are kept together. Each night, have your child make a few notes of what was discussed in class for each subject. Be consistent. Make sure that whatever study habits you work to create truly become habits, done at the same time, in the same way, every day. Working together, parents and teachers can make this a successful school year for every child in Florida.
A message from the Florida Education Association. Great public schools are a basic right for every child.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We've been speaking today about scleroderma. It's a little known skin disease. Well, it's actually an autoimmune disease, scientifically called systemic sclerosis. And I'm happy to introduce Rachel Ebert. She's a patient, but she's also a very valued volunteer for the organization. So Rachel, welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't we start by telling your story?
Okay.
Our audience obviously can't see you. You're beautiful and look perfectly healthy. For somebody who doesn't understand the disease, tell us your story so we can understand it better.
Well, the way I look is not how I feel a lot of the time. And that's one of the problems people with limited, we have limited scleroderma, not the systemic kind. People say, oh, but you look so wonderful. But that's not how we feel inside. What I started with, I believe, started in my late 30s, and I had a severe case of pneumonia, and then I had terrible allergies prior to that, and all of a sudden I had no allergies. And then I started to get aching of my joints. I mean, I was young, and I exercised. I had three kids and worked. And I could hardly get in and out of the car at different points. I was so stiff. But, you know, I was stupid. I didn't do anything about it. I was too busy. So that sort of passed. And then the thing that finally drove me to the doctors, because I didn't go to doctors too much. Again, I didn't think I had time. Was one of my sisters noticed that my hands were swollen. And she said, that isn't normal. And I said, oh, well, I didn't know they were swollen. But then the next thing that happened was they started to turn blue and white, which means Raynaud's. And I happened to tell my internist about that. And he said, oh, you've got it. So he was sharp. He said, you've got to see a rheumatologist. A lot of poor people that have this disease go 10, 15 years because a lot of family physicians, internists, etc., are not familiar with the symptoms of scleroderma. So mine was sharp. So he caught on. I went right to a rheumatologist, and he said I had what was called first formae, which means the first signs of scleroderma. There is a blood test that shows that you have scleroderma for some of us, not all of us. But and my doctor reassured me that this was a very slow disease, which it is with some people. I think I'll die with it instead of from it, probably, unless I get it in my lungs or my kidneys. Kidneys used to be the thing that people died of first. That's pretty much taken care of now. Now it's lung disease. So anyway, from there then, probably 12 or 15 years later, probably 12 years later, I started having digestive problems. And I didn't know anything. I refused to know anything about the disease. I refused to acknowledge that I had it. I would not admit it. And so this was diagnosed as irritable bowel, which is a terrible disservice to us. And a lot of rheumatologists don't even know that it goes along. So, I mean, it's
so your physicians didn't even connect the two? You were diagnosed with something totally unrelated?
No, they didn't connect it. And I didn't go to the rheumatologist ever again after that first bout. And so the rheumatologist may have been sharp enough, but a lot of them aren't. They don't see a lot of scleroderma, so they don't know a lot about it. And that's to be expected. Rheumatologists see everything, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, you know, the osteoarthritis, and on and on and on. So you can't expect them to know very much. They maybe had one class on it when they were in medical school, or maybe they saw it once when they were doing their residency. So anyway, we went with this, and I got really, really sick. I lost 10 pounds one summer. I was in bed a lot of the time. I just started out with vomiting and diarrhea.
And how old were you at this point?
62 or 3. I think 63. I don't remember. But around that age. So this was a long time in coming. So anyway, I was then tested for food allergies, and it turned out gluten and milk and a whole raft of other things, which I had been diagnosed when I was young, and you couldn't keep that kind of a diet because there were no foods like there are now. It's simple now. So you know, I suffered with this irritable bowel, and then finally, it was so lousy, I was having to go to bed with cramps and distension and problems, that I finally went to see somebody who specializes up at Johns Hopkins. He only sees scleroderma patients. And he said, oh, well, this is scleroderma. And he helped me out with medications and so on. And I try to see him once a year. He'd really like to see me twice a year because he's doing research. I think he's trying to see limited scleroderma, the kind I have. A lot of them develop the lung problems and therefore the heart and so on. So I think he's trying to differentiate by lab tests if you can forecast if we're going to get lung disease from it. I think that's the research he's doing, but he is, thank goodness, probably the best doctor, the kindest doctor, the most concerned doctor. I mean, he's just wonderful, and I love to see him.
So you see him once a year, and then you also have physicians here in South Florida.
I have a rheumatologist here who works with him. Mm-hmm. He did his residency at Johns Hopkins, too, so they have a connection. But he, you know, he wouldn't like me saying this, but he doesn't know a lot about scleroderma. I probably know a little more than he does. And the same thing with my gastroenterologist.
Right.
He says he knows. I've brought him professional papers and stuff. I doubt if he read them. I mean, coming from a patient, why would he be that interested?
Probably the most valuable thing is what you have to offer other people with this. And I'm assuming that you do that a lot in your position with the chapter here locally, and you tell us what you do with them as a volunteer.
Okay. Well, I am a chapter leader, and of course it's a huge commitment, and but it's not just easy to get people that will take a leadership role, and I had a leadership role in my work, so I was used to speaking, I was used to getting up in front of people, I was used to conducting meetings. So I figured, well, it won't be that bad for me, because some people can't even get up and speak. So I volunteered, I don't know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And I started a very small chapter. And how I did it was through a blurb in the Palm Beach Post, and then the Fort Lauderdale newspapers picked it up too, announcing our support group meeting. So I gradually got people into the group that I was leading, and I think I had about 12. Then there was another group in the same area that was much bigger and much more active than my group was, and she was getting sicker. She has pulmonary complications, and she's down to, oh, she weighs 75 pounds, I'd be surprised, and I think she used to be chubby. And so she has a lot of trouble breathing, is on oxygen 24/7, and it has sores that won't heal on her ankles and her fingers, and her little hands are all wasted away, and like, she probably wouldn't like me to say this, like claws. She has to wear gloves all the time, but she's the most courageous woman. She keeps going. She, you know, they're active socially. Her husband is a huge support. That's a big thing, is to remember the caregivers at home are really put out a lot.
So you were able to, what, combine the two groups
That's
together?
That's what we did. We combined the groups because we could see that she wasn't going to be able to do it. But she's so tenacious. She's such a wonderful woman that she still does every other month. I do all the emailing now, and I do all the clerical kind of work right. with the lists and that kind of thing. And then Fern has been wonderful, our executive director who you just heard. I mean, I was trying to do all that, but we didn't have an executive director.
And now you have
a
staff
while.
That can help you.
And I was just overwhelmed with it because at that time we were still trying to call people that didn't have email. Now, I won't do that anymore. Mm. I have somebody who does the calling for me because it's just too much. If you're preparing a lecture, which I often do for the meetings, and then to
it's
make 25
work.
Or 30 phone calls, it's too right. much. I can't do that.
Well, thank goodness for volunteers like you that help make the Scleroderma Foundation work. You know, you're listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and today we're speaking with representatives of the Scleroderma Foundation Southeast Florida Chapter. For more information on this important organization, please visit their website at www.scleroderma.org/chapter/Southeast Florida, or SE Florida, or call 954-798-1854. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Two kids, one paycheck. But I'm still going to send them to college. With Sam, I can.
Business has fallen off at work, but I'm getting prepared for whatever the future holds. With Sam, I can.
I missed a mortgage payment, but now I'm turning things around. With Sam, I can.
Making ends meet on a tight budget, coping with job loss, struggling with overwhelming credit card bills. Whatever your financial challenge, with Sam, you can. Sam is smart about money, a free online resource from the National Endowment for Financial Education. We're an independent nonprofit foundation dedicated to helping people just like you get sound information about money. From everything from how to build an emergency fund to how to deal with job uncertainty, just remember, Sam, I can. SamICan.org.
I'm going to feel in control again. With Sam, I can.
Get empowered. Reach your financial goals. Visit SamICan.org.
Back to the Forum for Nonprofits. I'm pleased to welcome back Fern Robin with the Scleroderma Foundation. Fern, welcome back. We've heard some wonderful stories from Rachel and all the programs that you do. Obviously, this can't be done without support for research and all the great programs that you have. Tell us how people can volunteer, how they can give you money, how they can help make this a wonderful, successful organization.
Well, they can go to our website, scleroderma.org, and I'd like to spell that SCLERODERMA.org. There is a donate now button there. You can click on the chapters and find the South Florida chapter that will give you all of our events and what's happening. We do fundraising all year round. Any donations are certainly welcome. Any donations of time and volunteers. We have a walk the first week of November every year at Tradewinds Park. We have a holiday party the first week in December, and we have our patient education symposium the first week in June at Northwest Broward Hospital, and we will be having that forever there because they are very good to us. And that is also a free event for our patients. And we have a number of events throughout the year. There are all kinds of fundraisers that we do. Please call me at 954-798-1854. I can also be reached at my email address, which is scleroderma@gmail.com.
So there are lots of ways that people can get involved and also to get information. It sounds like that's a big part of what you do.
Education, research, and support are our missions. And we try to do that every day. I do it every day. I answer phone calls. I direct people to the proper channels to help them out. I get phone calls from tearful parents, from tearful relatives who need help and assistance. And that's part of what I do. This is why I love my job so much. And we try to do as much as we can to help the patients. As Rachel said, she feels she looks good, but some of them don't look so good. It's very obvious when they're very, very ill, and we'd like to help every single one of them.
Do you have chapters, other chapters in South Florida? Do you cover just Broward County? What is your...
Good question. We have a large state, but our chapter only handles Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. We do assist everyone throughout the state. There are other support groups which can be found on the website if you're out of the area. We're trying to get a group for North Palm Beach because we do have a lot of people up there, but it's been a little difficult getting that going, that support group, because we have people who come to Rachel's meetings. They travel an hour to get here because it is a big state. There are chapters all over the country as well.
So you are listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and we've been speaking with representatives of the Scleroderma Foundation Southeast Florida Chapter. For more information on this important organization, please visit their website at www.scleroderma.org/chapter/SE Florida or call 954-798-1854. For Ellen Shulman, this is Ezra Krieg, thanking you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Krieg, senior consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Shulman, president of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.